Hello and welcome along to another episode of the Punters Panel, brought to you by the From the Horse's Mouth podcast in association with the good people down at Paddy Power. My name is Tom Nugent and delighted to be joined by three men who've got three grand nationals between them, Ruby Walsh, Mick Fitzgerald, and of course well-known jockey Frank Hickey of the Paddy Power Trading Room. Punters Panel, if you're not familiar with the concept, it's a show where you, the punters, send in questions for our illustrious panel, and we are, of course, building up to the Aintree Festival, so there will be very much a grand national theme to today's show. We've got a few bits of housekeeping before we get stuck into your questions. You are maybe listening to this as a podcast, but I am obliged to remind you that it is available in full Technicolor on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe to that because there'll be a lot more racing content coming to you on that platform before Aintree, Punchestown and across the flat season. So make sure you're subscribed to that too. And Finders Keepers is back on this very channel, the YouTube channel that is in association with the Racing Post and Paddy Power. There'll be a chance to win up to possibly $5,000 in Paddy Power accounts. So make sure you're subscribed to the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel so you make sure you watch that show every morning of the Aintree Festival. And secondly and final point is if you're having a bet this week or indeed any week, please remember to do so responsibly. One quick word as well for Horsepower, which is a new BHA hub dedicated to the thoroughbred racehorse. You can check that out online. It's available on horsepowerpwr.co.uk. There'll be a link in the show notes to check that out for all the stats and figures around the care of the thoroughbred within the racing industry. Righto, let's kick things off, lads. How are things? All good?
Was Cheltenham that bad, was it?
Cheltenham. Why? What did I do?
Only $5,000 in the Finders Keepers.
It'll be up to any individual will win up to $5,000, but they'll be given away.
They used to be good prizes.
Yeah, they kind of. Well, I
take it as well now, but they used to be big pots. Like,
you must be getting very well paid.
If you're I just thought. Remember thinking before, like,
someone doesn't get out of bed for less than five hours. Yeah. And it ain't me.
Yeah, you heard it here first. Ruby Wallace's reaction to $5,000 is.
And to your earlier point, does any jockey ever carry 4 stone overweight?
Yeah. Frank, all good. Cheltenham done and dusted. Busy time of year for you as well as everyone else. But
busy, yeah. Had a nice week off for myself there last week.
Just to bring the blood pressure back down.
Yeah, just doing very little. Do you know what I mean? Just relax and chill out and decompress, as I say.
Oh, very good. Very good. Back into would you consider yourself fully decompressed now?
Never feel decompressed. Until I just go from highly stressed to stressed.
well, at least we're back to the original setting anyway. Mick, you're welcome. Thank you very much for joining us. Busy period of festival National Hunt Racing. Looking forward to getting up to Aintree for a few days.
Love it, yeah. I'd say, look, anytime you get there, it brings back great memories for me, but the people of Liverpool, they make you feel so welcome. It's just very different atmosphere surrounding that meeting compared to Cheltenham. It's just totally more relaxed, and I think a lot time for lads to let their hair down a little bit more than they would at Cheltenham.
I'd say Mick Fitz has a career in politics. You know, he gets the people of Liverpool, you know, he just love the people. How are you getting on? Great to see you. I can count on your vote at the next election. No, we're delighted to have Mick, and we're delighted that you've sent in plenty of questions, the first of which is from Sam.
With the prospect of the National being fairly attritional, are we in a position where we're looking for horses from the bottom of the weight or fresher horses that haven't necessarily been to Cheltenham or ones that missed out on the cross country? Just looking for fresher legs, I suppose.
Thank you, Sam. Right, Ruby, we'll start with you. You rode in plenty of them. What does Aintree react differently to any other track with rain? Does it get particularly soft?
It's not great soil. It's a very black, dark soil. So yeah, it does get quite puddiny, quite gluey, and can get quite deep and be hard work. But it's going to be the same for all the horses, and that will relate back to speed. As regards Sam's question, fresher horse, fresher legs. I'd say the Gold Cup probably took the edge off Hedgehunter when number 6 Valverde won it. So that'd be a worry for Corrie Grambler, the race that he had in the Gold Cup, in my mind. But the other side of that coin is, I'm not sure freshness is the way to win a national either. I'd say every Grand National winner, actually, just reading stats, they have had at least 3 runs in a season. And as the race has changed over time and become more of a marathon, fitness is key to it. And you need miles in the tank. You need runs under your belt. They need to be hard fit now to sustain it in the National. I think it cost Ratvin in a Grand National that he had only had the one run through a very dry winter. The last National I rode in, I do think they all need three runs, and that would be a concern for Mr. Incredible, Mad or Mission, whether they actually have the mileage in the tank to win a Grand National.
Okay, very interesting. Mick, your opinion on what is set to be probably a soft, if not heavy, Grand National, how will that affect the shape of the race?
I think it will. Look, I think you need horses that are proven on the ground. I think that'll be the key. The horses that have question marks about stamina limitations, because like Ruby said, it's the gallop they go now. There's no hiding place anymore. They don't go steady for a circuit like they used to. It's flat out from the drop of the flag. So I'll be looking for proven performers on soft and heavy.
Okay. And Frank, from a training perspective, obviously weather plays a big part in how you price any race, but in the National, is it still... It's just adding to the lottery element, I suppose, is it?
It is, but like a couple of things I wanted to raise were just like when you look at the last two Grand Nationals running heavy and the first six home in both of them, 2018 Tiger All won, he carried 10-13, Pleasant Company was second, 10-11, Bless the Wings carried 10-6, Annabelle Fly 11-8, Milan's Bar 10-6, and Road to Riches 10-5. So five of the first six carry less than 11 stone. And then 2016 when Ruin the World won, he carried 10-7. The last summer, he carried 10-8. Vix Camus 10-6. Gil Gamboa 11-1. Guniella 10-8. And Uccello Conti 10-8. So again, five of the first six home carried less than 11 stone. Now, when you compare that to, say, the last 2 years, 2013, three of the first five home carried over 11 stone. 2022, five of the first six home carried over 11 stone. So it had been kind of edging towards being more, you know, a race for the classier types. But when the heavy ground kicks in, it just makes it more difficult to give that weight away. Like, go to 2021 then, none of the horses that finished carried more than 11 stone, but that was because Bristol Tamai had most of them carrying under 11 stone. I think there was only 8 horses in total carried 11 stone or more. So I kind of would disregard that. Mm-hmm. So I would be looking at, I wouldn't say a horse carrying over 11 stone can't win, but it would definitely decrease my, decrease my positivity in them. Do you know what I mean? I'd be focusing more on ones carrying lower weights that are proven on ground and have stamina. And when you start to do that, there aren't a whole pile of them. Tick the box.
Mm. And hey, what's the trading room's take on a prep run or mileage in that particular season?
Set of rules. It's just you take every horse and, you know, like say, automatically when I watched the Gold Cup, I was like, oh my God, that's a mighty run from Carrick Radner. And we slashed the price because I was like, in my head I was going, he could be 6 or 7 pounds well in. When he gets revised, now I can't remember, is he 3 or 4 well in, or I can't remember, but then when you actually analyse the race, God, he was very tired at the finish. And it wasn't as maybe positive as I would have thought initially, you know? So then you have to revise your opinion on that. And while he's short, I can see him maybe edging out a bit. For all that he's won well there and he's run a cracker in the Gold Cup, I'll have to leave a mark on him. Considering the other thing as well is, like that was a Gold Cup on testing ground, international on testing ground. It'll be a phenomenal performance if he wins, considering all that.
Okay, excellent stuff for our first question. Thank you, Sam. Next up, friend of the show, Vernon has one for Frank.
Frank, what will your policy be re the Nicky Henderson runners? Will it be a wait and see how the early ones do? And come on, Mr. Hickey, there must have been something that swerved Cheltenham that aimed for Aintree that you have your eye on.
Thank you, Vernon. Right, old Frank, what are you thinking regards Vernon's question?
Well, obviously, you look at Nicky Henderson's form at the moment. He's not having many runners. He's had 4 runners, I think, in the last less than 2 weeks. One was pulled up, one was 7th of 9th, one fell, and one won. So it's a very small sample. Obviously, I wouldn't think the yard are fully through what was going on there. I think when you're looking at them, you can't be overly positive. Like, the hard one to price is going to be Sergino, because we know on ability he's miles clear, but you just don't know what way he's going to run. Like, you look at Cheltenham then, like, when I watched Cheltenham, obviously most of them underperformed, but when I watched Cheltenham, I remember watching the Carlow Cup and going, my God, Lucky Place is an absolute certainty when he goes to Aintree. But he has no entry in the 2.5 mile race, and I wouldn't be sure they'll step him up to 3 miles, so maybe he might be done for the season. But what I took away from Cheltenham with regards to Nicky Henderson runners is Lucky Place is Amaral to win a handicap off 140, in my opinion, considering he was fourth, beaten four lengths by Bally Adam Langerdan and Sham Bally Kid. Like, I would consider two, if not three of them, the right horses to be following home. And considering how all the rest underperformed, it was a huge run. And then you tie in the form of Golden Ace as well. He was the one Nicky Henderson horse I took away from Cheltenham.
Okay, excellent. We'll get an update maybe on the Nicky Henderson horses from you, Mick, later on the show, so stay tuned for that. Next up, we've got Andrew with a question for Mick and Ruby.
Hi, gents. I hope you're well. I've got a question here for Mick. Mick, in 1996, you said that riding Rough Quest to national victory was better than Sex. My question is, have you experienced anything since that's changed your mind? And Ruby, how did it compare for you?
Wow. Wow. Thank you, Andy.
Fancy. Why did you have to say that?
Okay, Mick.
It seemed like a good line at the time, but...
In your own time, if you could break that question down for us. Has anything that's changed your mind since?
No.
Okay.
I will. Well, a second marriage. Does that count?
We for maybe legal reasons, we won't go down there. Yeah.
All I have to say is when I said that to Des Lynam, I was actually engaged at the time, and
you still got married.
And my fiance wasn't actually at Aintree. She was watching on TV like the other 10 million people that saw it. So when I got home that night, it was actually quite late when I got back, and it was we had a party. So like there was banners, you know, well done, Grand National winner, and everybody's inside. And I had managed to dodge her all night, basically, because I knew I was going to get it at some stage for what I said. And I was literally, honestly, Maradona didn't have the moves that I had when it came to swerving her. But eventually I got cornered and she says, oh, that was brilliant. You know, I'm so pleased for you. Well done. But what about what you said? And I said, look, I'm really sorry about that. And she said to me, she said, I've only got one thing to say about that. And I said, oh, what's that? She said, how often is the Grand National run?
To be fair, the Grand National takes about 11 minutes as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, she did say I would never last that long. So,
wow. Okay. And Ruby, how did it compare for you?
I think Fitzy is just... Fitzy dug the hole, Fitzy can get out of the hole, and I wish to make no further comment.
That's very, very fair and assumed. Maybe, Ruby, you're the one for politics, not Mick. Anyway, right, let's move on. Nick has got a question for Ruby.
Howdy, lads. Quick question for Ruby. What sort of squad do you think Willie will be sending over to Aintree next week outside the National? And is Creed of Bourbon going over, or do you think he'll be kept behind for Punchestown?
Thank you, Nick. Okay, Team Clissutton for Aintree, what are we thinking?
He sent a few. I can't see many of the Cheltenham winners going. I think Mystical Power is due to run the novice hurdle. I would imagine some of the horses that were behind Ballyburn in the 2.5 will run the 2.5 mile novice hurdle. Jimmy Desai, maybe Eat Atlantique. I'm not sure about Keita Bourbon, whether he'll wait for the handicap hurdle in Punchestown or take a chance in the novice at Aintree. I think he'll let the Taunt might run in the novice chase. Couple of the horses that were down the field in the Triumph might run in the 5-year-old hurdle. Willie'll bring runners, but not a massive squad. You're looking at the winners, I suppose. Lassiemouth will go to Punchestown, State Man will go to Punchestown, Ballyburn will go to Punchestown. What was the other winner on the first day? The Arkle, Gaelic Warriors going to Punchestown. A lot of the winners will go to Punchestown, and those that didn't win might end up in Aintree.
Have there been any little mutterings about the UK trainers title, or is it not
that's
really?
That's 600 grand behind, or thereabouts. He needs to win the National.
But he could.
He could, and I suppose if he sends a couple of days before the Grand National and he happens to win another 100 or 200,000 at the meeting and then happen to win the National. But look, he could be first, second, third, fourth and fifth in the National and then he will be champion runner.
Okay, very good.
If you look at it that way, yeah. I don't think he will be. Yeah. But,
the possibility is there.
He could.
He needs to win the National. He has entries in the Scottish National and in the Bet365 and there's a couple of big pots. But yeah, it does come down to winning the Grand National.
It could be done. Richard Newland might combust if that happens. But anyway, right, Cormac.
But the last time it came down, it all hinged on Vitor Fall.
Yes.
Vitor Fall in the Melling Chase.
Yeah, and that was it. Then he
No, he didn't. He kept going. He only got beaten by 70,000. But like he would, there was 170,000 of a swing that was in that the race.
Difference, yeah.
What year was it that he had something in and then he withdrew it?
Oh, that was the same. Well, he had to win. Undersaw had to win the celebration chase in Sandown. And Undersaw was beaten by Altior, I think. It was Altior. And then Willie couldn't get back by Paul. He didn't have one in the Bet365 or whatever we had the Bet365. Paul won the Scottish National. Blue Colours, Sam Twiston Davis wrote it. That put Paul back in front, and then Willie needed to win the celebration chase.
Or something
like that, yeah. Undersaw didn't win the celebration chase, and he took something out of the hurdle race late in the card in Sandown, and they threw all the ties out of the pram then. I mean, he was there. They were there to try and be champion trainer. It was adding to the day. That race had run, was run, and the final couple of grand or something, didn't it?
Cormac has a question for Frank.
What's the worst result in the book for the Grand National at this stage? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Cormac. Frank, the field book antipost for the Grand National?
So we had two field books. We obviously had the antipost one and we went on run a bet a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So initially in the antipost one, it's Kirk Rambler and Vanillier were all the rage. They're the two losers, two big losers. Obviously wouldn't mind getting both of them beaten. And then since we've gone on run no bet, Nassalam is the main loser. You can see why, because of
the ground
and the fact he's dotted up in a Chepstow, at Chepstow in the Welsh National. Your worry would be, again, he's going to carry at least 11-7, isn't he? And then the other one that's a significant loser, since we've gone on run no bet, is Sheikh Mopari for Harry Redknapp. Obviously, good winner of the plate. He's, you know, favourite or joint favourite for the Topham. I suppose with non-run no bet concession, you can back him for the National, knowing that if he goes here rather than the Topham, you know, you're not going to lose. You're not going to lose if he goes to the Topham. And yeah, look, you'd have definite stamina questions about him, but he was a good winner and he beat the right horse in the plate. So you could definitely see why people are throwing a few bob at him.
Okay, excellent little insight into the Paddy Power book for the Grand National of 2024. Now it's time for a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
What would National Hunt Racing be without a little choice? Jockey or trainer? Bay or grey? Form or silks? And now, Paddy Power's new money-back tokens give you even more choice because you choose the race to apply your token to. Get money back as a free bet if your horse finishes in the designated places on a race of your choosing. Just look out for our money-back token promos and claim your token however you like. Paddy Power. Applies to races with 8 or more runners. Opt-in required. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Punters panel. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel so producer Mark can get his bonus for the year. Righto. Philip is back with a question for Ruby.
Ruby, your last ride in the National was a good third on Rathvinden. Just wondering what your thoughts were throughout the race. Were you dreaming of that third National win in your last year before you retire?
Thank you, Philip. Okay, Ruby, Rathvinden, was there a flicker of hope at any stage in the race? Did you think, oh, here we go?
No, I did think he had a great chance. But look, as we said earlier in the show, ultimately he didn't have the runs under his belt. He was a bit fresh, he was a bit gassy. I was on the front end, I was in front quite early in the race, trying to slow it down, but Magical Light was beside me. I kind of thought maybe Beatrice jumped it well, Canal Thorn was still in front, but I knew when we got away from Valentine's heading to the next one, I could see Tiger Rhodes' head appearing inside me. And his head was turning to the side. David Russell was trying to slow him down so much. And I was thinking, well, I ain't going to beat that. And then I did think going to the elbow, when he got his second win, he started the rally, I was thinking, Jesus, is he going to fly? But he didn't. He petered out and he got well beaten in the end. But that just goes back to my point. He was just a bit fresh. He didn't have enough runs under his belt and ultimately didn't get home.
Had you at that point in the year made the decision that you were going to retire at some stage?
Oh, I'd have retired if you won, but...
Would you?
Yeah, but no. It's not exactly concrete plans you make. If I win the National, I'm going to retire. I'm going to retire.
But you had the plan in your head that this season won, is going to be it. Okay. Had you been practicing? Had you the wave plan?
I had it perfected for ancient. I got the fucking thing down by Monday.
In the mirror for 6 months going like that. What are you planning, Ruby? Huh? There you go. Anyway, right, great stuff. Thank you, Philip, for that question. Farmer Sam is back with a question for Mick.
One for Mick. I don't think I'm alone in wishing the Henderson Yard to have a great entry. Mick, can we have a bit of a vote of confidence or an update on a few of his stars going into entry?
Thank you very much, Sam. Okay, Mick, we mentioned it earlier in the show. Yeah. Obviously, we wanted to get an update on Nicky Henderson's horses. It's been a trying time. I think you would be very cold-hearted to not feel sorry for anyone in that kind of a position, especially for a trainer at such a busy time of year. But it can happen to anyone, and it does occasionally. How are things? Any improvement? Are we likely to see a kind of a better showing at Aintree?
I think they hope so. I think a lot of it rests on what happens on the first day. He's got some big runners, the likes of Sergino, Shishkin in there as well. I think a lot. You'll know your fate early. I think he'll be... Nicky's been amazing throughout the whole thing. Like he fronted up at Cheltenham. He was there all 4 days and, you know, putting on a brave face. But I could see, like I know him, and you could see he was hurting. Because when someone like him, the whole... Like if you've got a horse good enough to go to Cheltenham, he works backwards from that with every race the horse has for the season. And for him then not to be able to get to the end goal, you know, was gutting. But the signs are positive and they're going in here. He's deliberately not had that many runners. And I know plenty's been made of the fact that some of the ones that have run haven't performed. But Nicky normally operates around between 22 and 25%, even with only 4 runners in the last couple of weeks, one of them won. So that's still 25%. So I think they're hanging on to that little stat.
Okay. If things don't go to plan on day one, are we likely to see a similar situation to Cheltenham where other horses might not line up?
No, I don't think you will. I think he's confident that they're out the other side, and you know, he certainly feels that the horses that he's got ready to run at Aintree are ready to go.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Mick. And thank you, Sam. Next up, Andrew is back for another question, this time for Frank.
Who do you think will be the plunge horse this year? With last year's winner, Korak Ramble, already at the head of the market, who do you think will be the housewife's pick on the day?
Okay, thank you, Andrew. The housewife's pick, Frank.
If there's one thing I don't know, it's what goes on in the head of housewives.
What's going to be the plunge horse in this year's
match? Look, it's hard to know. Like, 3, I thought potentially could shorten up a bit. Limerick Lace, maybe, if, like, it's, I wouldn't say it's an absolute certainty Mark Walsh rides Meeting of the Waters or I.M. Maximus. If he ends up in Limerick Lace, looking at her, she won 3 or 4 this year. She's been a second at Troytown. Looking at breeding, you'd be fairly confident she'll stay, handles ground, low enough weight. I think we're a little bit under. I think we're about 16 to 1. There's 25s out there. I could see her shortening up significantly if Mark Walsh did decide to ride her. I think it's big prices. Roy Madge, I think, is going to shorten up. Like, he was 66 to 1 last week. He's 50s now. I think he weakened out for it to finish 7th, but I think the ground will suit him. And he really took to the fences last year. He jumped really well. You know, from each way point of view, I could see people latching onto him. I could see him go off more like 25 to 1, maybe. And then Gally De La Toe was another one I thought maybe. Again, carrying a low weight, second in the classic chase.
Another mare,
yeah. Handel's ground should stay. Again, she's between 25 and 33 to 1. There aren't that many British runners to latch onto as well. So she might be the one of the Brits that might attract a few bob. But that's my view on it. It could be completely wrong. Like, it's kind of guesswork. But you know, that's the rationale behind the 3 of them potentially shortening.
How much in the trading room does a race like the Grand National kind of evolve in terms of opinions, like in the few days in the run-up? Like, will a lot change next week? Obviously, weather might change, but even just opinions or kind of liabilities and things like that, does that change the complexion from your professor?
Antipost, you're just managing a book, like, you know what I mean? There's no real opinion in there. It's just, you know, if you're laying warm money or you're over-indexing on something, you're going to cut the price. Like, we won't take a strong opinion until Friday afternoon when we sit down and price to have our discussion. And even then, you know, we've learned our lesson from Tiger Roll the first time when we said he's too small, he won't change the fences, and we just laid him for as much as we could. And, you know, halfway around we were like, oh, bollocks, you know? And we lost an awful lot of money, and we'll never forget that day. So you have to be, I think, throw your ego out the window and go, sometimes we're wrong here. You know, punters, the cash we're seeing is telling us we're wrong, and just trade it neutrally from there. And we will do that. If we price me up kind of out kind of late at the price it is, and then we're being told by the cash we're seeing that it's wrong, we'll abandon that call and just trade it neutrally.
You'll change this race up completely Friday afternoon when you sit down and
Potentially, yeah. It depends on, there'll be three of us price it. I imagine it'll be Niall O'Reilly, Ryan McHugh and myself. We'll have a discussion about, I don't know, 2 or 3 o'clock on Friday. And it'll be some sort of
a... So why did the bookmakers maintain then that you really need 48 hour declarations? I mean, like longer declarations if you're not repricing it until 12 hours before.
It's just because we won't really have time to... We're trying to price all the races from through. Do you know what I mean? Like, we still have pricing to do on Tuesday. But like, for Tuesday, Thursday, there's still other meetings to be priced, etc. You know what I mean? Yeah, I think it's just as well so people know what's going to be running and bet. Like, the volume bet between, say, when we reprice it and declarations is still significant. Like, you know, again, it's probably just bet a slightly more margin than it would be when we reprice it. It's bet a lot tighter margin, you know, because I think we've more, we would like to think we've more confidence in our price at that stage because we've actually sit down and priced it. So that's kind of
excellent. Brilliant. Very good. Thank you, Frank. And thank you, Andrew. Vernon is back with a question for Ruby and Mick.
I have a hypothetical question for Ruby and for Mick. Let's pretend you're young enough to ride in a Grand National tomorrow and you're given the choice. You can ride in the type of Grand National that you did tackle, bigger fences, bigger fields, or you can ride in a 34-runner Grand National over smaller obstacles. Which do you opt for, chaps?
Thank you very much, Vernon. Mick, we'll let you take that one first. Obviously, it's a race that's changing all the time.
Yeah.
Which would your preference be for?
Look, it's in my opinion, it's changing for worst because it's just turned into another handicap chase with a lot of runners over a marathon distance. I'd love it to be like what it was because there was a different element involved. There was a different type of horse involved. And it was a different race to ride. You know, when I rode Rough Quest to win, I knew I was on the best horse and I knew I had a lot up my sleeve. So basically, the only thing that was wider than me at Beecher's was the ambulance, basically, because all I had to do was get over it. There was no need for me to go the brave man's route down the inside. It spread the whole field out. And once you'd gone a full circuit, the race had found its own natural rhythm. It's a very different race now. You even look at last year's race. There was so many of them packed down the inside. Everybody wanted to be on the inside jumping Beechers. There's loads of room on the middle to outside. Nobody wanted it because there's no difference where you go anymore.
Ruby, your opinion on the changes and your preference for either the modern or the old?
Does your preference matter? There's only going to be one result. It's only going. It's only
people
going.
Would
in
be
one,
interested to hear
it's
your
only
opinion,
going in
probably.
One direction. But I would agree with Mick, I did enjoy the intricacies of the old entry and where you had to think your way from start to finish because of various drops and rises and where there was risk worth taking and risks that you didn't need to take, and lots of things have changed. But that's society in every walk of life, and we are where we are, and entry are trying to make the best of it that they can, and it's not an easy environment to be having a race of this nature in, and I think they're doing well to be where they are, to be honest with you.
Thank you, Vernon. Okay, on a related note then, Brendan is back with another question for Ruby and Mick.
Guys, the Grand National is now a 34-runner race. The fences are much smaller than they were. Do you see any more changes coming, or do you possibly fear for the future of the Grand National?
Ruby, we'll start with you this time. Is there more to come in terms of changes for the Grand National?
I don't think so. And I think in order to see if the changes have worked, you cannot take one sample size. It has to be run over a number of years and you average out the sample then. So regardless of what happens on Saturday at entry, to me, the Grand National has to run this way for 5 years to see if it's worked or not. And I don't think reacting to that next Sunday morning, whatever goes on, it will be right. So, no, I don't see any changes coming. I think they've made big changes for a lot of the right reasons that will be explained throughout the week in entry. But I do think they have to let it run now for 5 years and see what happens.
Are you of the same opinion, Mick? Do you think they'll stick to their guns now and see how things work out?
I think they will, because I think that the explanation they're going to give for the reasons they've made the changes, I think, will give them confidence to be able to stand up to what they've, you know, what they've done already. Nobody wants to see change, but sometimes you have to make change to look after the race. And I think to so that it can be around for a long time. And I think that's really why they feel they've had to make the changes. Nobody wants to see it happen. But unfortunately, we're in, you know, this world is evolving. And sometimes we just have to keep up with the changes.
We can, the limit, I think the risks, Tom, have been reduced to just about as little as they can be. But the risks, unfortunately, in any sport, mm-hmm. cannot be removed. And I think the risks have been limited. But this is about as much as you can limit them.
Yeah.
Frank, do you have any opinion on it? Do you think the changes are going to keep coming, or do you think they'll...
I hope this is it. I think quite simply, a lot of the people the changes are made for to appease won't be happy until racing's gone. So that's what you have to understand as well. You will never satisfy those people. So, as Ruby said, you've eliminated as much risk as you can. There will always be risk in everything you do in life. And, you know, if we continue trying to appease these people, we'll have no sport.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much, Brendan. Good question. Onwards we go on an entry-teamed show. Connor's got a question for Frank about Cheltenham.
How did the bookies do overall at Cheltenham? And did El Fabiola really save them a fortune, even if he was such a short price?
Okay, thanks very much, Connor. Frank, El Fabiolo, did he save your job by making that mistake?
I didn't save my job, sure. Come here. I'm safe out. it was a massive result for us. Monday was bad. You don't mind Monday being... Or Tuesday, sorry. Tuesday was bad. You don't mind it being bad. Stagefield and horrendous.
Monday, before anything starts, it was already...
Tuesday was bad. It would have been a lot worse if Emily Garrins had won Roaring and Corbett's Cross, just the way the multiples were rolling. And Wednesday was going bad. And El Fabiol getting beaten was huge. It saved us an awful lot of money. And it knocked out a lot of money running on to other horses later in the week. So it was a huge turning point. And it was almost like momentum completely shifted for the week then, where we were on the back foot. And next thing, we started getting a few results. And we came out of Wednesday kind of going, I'd say we're a little bit behind, but hopeful. And then Thursday, very good for us. Friday, very, very good. And we actually...
Very good.
I wouldn't be involved in any of the commercial meetings, with targets, etc. But when I did see them at the start of the week, I was like, oh, Jesus, we'll have our work cut out to achieve them. But we did. Cheltenham's complex as well, there's a lot of cost involved from the point of view of, free bet offers, extra places. Do you know what I mean? So, even if you're making, gross revenue, when you factor all that in, it's hard to make it pay. But we were very pleased in the end. Results went our way, and I think we did end up kind of taking on Gallop and Deschamps at a price, so that would have been a loser, but we kind of took on the right ones in general and ducked the right ones and got away with it. Very pleased overall. I wouldn't mind a similar week.
£5,000 for finders keepers.
Yeah.
I rest my case, Your Honour.
Yeah. And if you see Frank Hickey driving around Dublin in a Bentley,
won the Euro Millions.
Okay, righto. We've got James, who's got a question, a grilling question for Mick, I believe.
A question for Mick on the panel. Mick, is there a horse in Nicky Henderson's yard that you're excited to see run maybe at Aintree or before the jump season ends? And also, is there a horse in Nicky's that has potentially become well handicapped with the way the national hunt season has gone for Nicky? Also, do you think it's possible Nicky might run some more jump horses on the flat throughout the summer this year to kind of make up for the kind of national hunt season? Thanks.
Okay, thank you, James. Lots to pick through there, Mick. Over to you.
Right, what's he got? I think in the immediate, Sergino's horse, obviously, that is held in very high regard. He was odds on before the Triumph, obviously didn't get to run, so looking forward to seeing him at Aintree. Of the ones that haven't run, unfortunately, Frank has stolen the thunder, I think, with Lucky Place, giving that horse out a shout out earlier. He came from a good position at Cheltenham, and I think he's definitely one that went into a lot of people's notebooks. A few of the other horses that were disappointing, I think can bounce back. I think there's, you know, there's a few of those performers like Jericho de Repine. He was very disappointed and he's way better than what he's shown. And he could be interesting with a handicap mark as well. I think that handicap mark of his, you know, could be one to be exploited. Will he run horses on the flat? If you've ever seen Constitution Hill work, you'd wonder why they didn't run him on the flat. He won't be running for a little while, but there's not many that can beat him. I haven't seen a horse that 7 barrels can get anywhere near him. So if they did decide to run him on the flat, I know Michael Buckley, he played with the idea a while back, but if they ever ran him on the flat, he would take some pegging.
It's the hope that kills us.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the hope that kills us.
Just as Mick says that, you kind of go Jericho de Repine and great was just straight into the head, isn't it?
Okay, very good. Thank you, James, for your question. And rounding off proceedings, Andy is back for the hat trick with a question for Ruby.
Ruby, one of my fondest national memories is you winning aboard Hedge Hunter. What was it like winning it for a second time? Did you get to kind of appreciate it more and let it soak in a little bit with an older head on your shoulders?
Thank you, Andy. Did you enjoy it second time around a little bit more? You were able to take it in? Was the first one a blur?
I wouldn't think I enjoyed it anymore. Definitely couldn't have celebrated it anymore anyway, but of course I enjoyed it. It was unbelievable. He was obviously favourites. He was lucky actually at a couple. I was only watching it back the other day. I didn't realise he burst Valentine's first time round. It was nearly out over his ears. But he absolutely hosed up. It was magical to win it again. And I loved every minute of it. Wouldn't mind another go at it.
Well, would you like to make an announcement? No?
No. As in, I wouldn't mind having those few minutes back. Going out there next weekend.
People always ask you, do you miss riding? And I always say, I miss winning.
Yeah.
Winning. I don't miss getting beat up.
Mm, yeah, which is fair enough. That concludes the questions sent in from our punters. Thank you very much for those. Before we wrap things up, very simple. That's very, very simple. Producer Mark wants the 1-2-3 for the Aintree Grand National.
It doesn't have to be in order, surely, does it?
Oh, no, it has to be. The correct 1-2-3 finishing order. Past. Please and thank you. Go ahead, Frankie.
Yeah, I did a short list of four. Is that okay?
Well, you can give us the 1-2-3-4 then.
Yeah. In no particular order, though. I'm not sure.
What is this? You were asking a clear and simple question you've got.
Oh, yeah, I'll go, right. My four, Melina Girl, Roy Madge, Mr. Incredible, and Meeting of the Waters.
With a preference for to finish in the
well, I have backed, the number I have spot. Backed Roy Madge Roy so Madge. Far. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I will almost certainly back Melina Girl. I was very keen on her earlier in the year. She has kind of tapered off, but the more I look at this, the more I think maybe this has been maybe a bit of a name for a while. Like, she was very impressed with Cheltenham carrying 11-7, started the year over 3-3 on soft ground. I think she was going to bolt up there in December again. She is small. Tiger Roll was small.
I know.
And we got our ass kicked thinking that.
It was the last mayor to win the Grand National.
I don't know, 70 years ago or something, is it?
Yeah,
it's a long time ago. But mayors are doing a lot better because of the programme and whatever. So there's one I'm bound to win at some stage. Jesse's one was second a couple of years ago.
Did you pay out on her as the moral winner then? Because she was a mayor and she was second.
No, I'm just saying she's got second. Wondering. So, she beat 38 others, so. Yeah.
50-1.
Beating under one. So, I mean, Mr. Incredible, I think.
It's generally, it's like being with school kids sometimes. I don't know why you're at each other. Just relax. Anyway, they're your four.
Yeah. I'll just give a Mr. Incredible, I thought ran a cracker in the Midlands National. Was going well last year when he unseated, didn't he?
Slipped, didn't
he? In the canal.
Yeah, saddle slipped. He'll stay. Like, Ruby's point is very interesting about having the work in the legs to last, but I do think he's handicapped to play a part, and Meeting the War is just obvious, isn't he? Mm-hmm. He's obviously won the Paddy Power really well. He travelled really well through the Ultima. Just, you bumped into one that was absolutely choked thrown in. Mm-hmm. But again, you'd imagine he should stay and handle the ground or whatever. So yeah, that's the reason behind the four of them.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Frank. Mick, you're 1-2-3 for the Grand National?
Meeting of the Waters.
Mm-hmm.
I think you watched that race at Cheltenham and see how strongly he finished. He's definitely a player, and the ground won't be a problem. He's definitely the one. I think that, I've already backed him Corrick Rambler, I think, is definitely a player. Obvious concerns about the how much of a mark the Gold Cup's left. But if you watch him win last year, like, he pulled up halfway up the running. Like, he should have won on the bridle, really. I think of the others, Noble Yates, I think even with plenty of weight, I just think he's going to be coming through them. I think it'll turn into a slog this year. And I think he'll plug his way through and finish in the places. I think of the others in there, you're looking at, you know, Panda Boy. I think he was second in that Leopardstown race. Mm-hmm. I think he's definitely a player too. Trained by a good man in Martin Brazel. You know, knows how to get one ready for the big day. And I think they're definitely my four.
Ruby?
I think Capodanno.
Yes.
Delta Work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go with Martin's other horse. And just even...
Desert Moorhouse.
Yeah. But even listening to Ronnie Bartlett, maybe on about Statler and Galvin and Soft Ground, I think there's a chance Desert Moorhouse could get in. So I'm going to stick him in as well, Kerry National winner.
Thank you very much, Ruby. Thank you to Frank, Mick and Ruby. And thanks, of course, to you for watching on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Make sure you're subscribed to that, because Finders Keepers returns for the Entry Festival alongside the Racing Post. Paddy Power are going six places on the 2024 Aintree Grand National alongside a host of other offers across the 3 days of the Aintree Festival. So make sure you're checking those out on the app or paddypower.com. If you're having a bet at Aintree or indeed any day over the coming weeks, please remember to do so responsibly. And if you want to get involved in the next episode of the Punters Panel, all you have to do is drop in your questions via email to fchm@paddypower.com, and producer Mark will take it from there. I've been Tom Nugent. You've been you. Good luck and thanks.